Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the second reading from today from Colossians, and this is the first chapter. I'll just read to you verse 11 to the end. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Heavenly Father, send us out in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. How is God going to get us back? In the first lesson, we heard Amos, the old prophet. He lived way, way back in the reign of a fellow called Jeroboam in the northern kingdom. Around about 786 to 747 BC, he prophesied. God had given him four visions, and one of those visions was a mason's plumb line. And so he was asked to measure God's people with this plumb line. And God's people were measured according to the commandments and according to God's will. And as he held that plumb line, it was very obvious that the people didn't measure up. Everything was skewed entirely. They were insincere in their worship. They didn't care about justice for other people. And they were those who, even because they lost trust in, these are God's people, lost trust in God, were committing effectively idolatry as they looked for other things, other people, other means, other effigies, other thoughts, other theories to place their trust for the life eternal that was there for them and which they expected to inherit. So the plumb line showed up God's people at that time in a very poor light. And I guess if that plumb line was shown against us today, what would be the difference? We are God's people by inheritance, says our text, not because you earned it. We don't. We are given it, just like the baptism today. That's where it began for Keeley. It begins when God reaches out with his forgiveness. You become part of his kingdom, part of his family. And the whole point of the text that we want to look at today from Colossians is that we are to be reminded that God has tried to get us back. He's done what's necessary. And in getting us back, he has ensured the inheritance which we ourselves can't attain. So if you look at your own life or at the life of the church, what do we find? We find the same problems that have always been there. We find the problems of trusting other things, our efforts, what we do, our thoughts of how things could be done, which will make the church work, the church grow. We forget about a place like this, simple place of divine service. Divine service is where God serves us. It's not where we present ourselves with how smart we are, but what God has done for us. And if you look at those first verses of Colossians, you'll find that that has to be done only through God's Son. It could be nowhere else. It has to be someone who comes to us, gives us his life, raises himself, or is raised from the dead, and if he's not, we waste our time. Better go and have a cup of tea. If that's not happened, we have nothing, but it has happened. And therefore, the reminder from Paul to that very new congregation in Colossae, it was a young congregation. Remember, these were early days. A young congregation which struggled. And they struggled because they weren't well grounded in the faith that God had given them. They didn't have the knowledge and wisdom. So he prays. Paul prays for these people. He's in the background praying for their welfare, praying that they grow up. And when he talks about that which is to be done, he's talking about growing in wisdom and knowledge. What is he actually saying here? He's not saying academically at all. He's saying you need to grow up to be who you are. That's what's going to be important. You are the children of God, and you need to see what is possible for you. And so it's about a relationship rather than some kind of exam you might pass or an inventory of how good you've been for the last 3 weeks. That doesn't count. What counts is what God in Christ has done. Remember this, as much as we fail, that plumb line, as much as we don't actually add up, as much as we do trust other people other than our Saviour, the fact is we are people too who have lost our faith, or at least its strength. And we do put it in other things time and time again. Everybody does. And the reason we do that is when that first catastrophe happened, we all fell away from God. The one who takes us away from God had his say. And we grow up just like that. We can't do the right thing by our own strength. That's why, as simple as this seemed today, this little bit of water, this baptism, that's where he works. That's where he serves us. Not in some exotic way or some marvelous experience, but in a very simple, down-to-earth things of life. But it all centers in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's nowhere else. You cannot find it anywhere else at all. That is the one place. There is only one God. There is only one family of God, and we belong to it. So, he even calls, does Paul, calls us saints. He says, you are the saints in Colossae. Now, there's never been a saint who considered themselves they were a saint. If you look at St. Paul, for example, what did he say? He said, I am the chief of sinners. Well, that man who gave up everything he had in his life was chief of sinners. What does that make me? What does that make you? What's that make any of us? We would have to say the same thing. And yet, in Jesus addressed us today through this to the people of Colossae, he's addressing us to, he would say, thank you. There's the very clue. Thank you. Thank you. You are a saint. Thank you for what you do. And yet, so often we too, like the Samaritan, or like those who went before him, the priest and the Levite, close our eyes and pass by on the other side. We don't measure up. When that plumb line falls clearly in our lives, we don't measure up. We're skewed to one side just as they were in Prophet Amos's time. Now, God will put up with that to a point. He will put up with it. Why? Because he loves us. But there will come a point where they say, enough is enough. I'm going to act. I want to get you back. And so he reminds us again and again of what he's done, what Jesus Christ himself has done. He talks about light. He talks about darkness. The light is that which shows us who we are and shows us what our relationship is like. The darkness, where we do not know what we're doing or where we're going because we're looking in the wrong direction. We have to learn to realize who God has made us. In the year 1774, a scientist, Joseph Priestley, discovered oxygen. Now, that doesn't mean there wasn't oxygen before that. There's been oxygen since time began. But it wasn't discovered. We didn't know what it was. We breathed it all the way along. You and I need to understand who we are. Whom Christ has made us, saints. And now we're asked to act in that way, and that's what growing in the knowledge is all about. That's what walking in the light is all about. Everything happens through Christ. At the center of that is redemption and is deliverance. We fall into the wickedness that's permeated all creation all the time. No one can get out of that. We live in this life, and Paul would say to us today, a Christian never arrives. You do not arrive in baptism. You do not arrive in confirmation. It is continuing growth, and that growth only comes as you listen to his word. as you meditate on that and understand and hear more and more, that's what I learned. That makes sense. Yes, I can do these things. And the very thing is, he wants us to be signposts. And a signpost is something that points. And his signpost, you and I, are signposts to point to Christ. And when you do not pass by on the other side, but you stop and help that person, you are pointing. When you are people who understand what you can do, when you share the faith you have, when you talk to someone about it, we're not talking necessarily Bible bashing, we're talking about witnessing to what God in Christ has done for you. When you go to a funeral, some of you will this week, the same thing will be there. It's Christ who saves. No one can save themselves. And when we keep pointing like that, we are indeed the signposts. We are indeed the saints who are living out our sainthood as God would have us. He has rescued us, says our text, from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's where it begins, and that's where it's going to continue for each one of us. And so it's a good practice each day to say, thank you, Lord, for a new day. Yes, I've been forgiven. Yes, I happen to be in a lousy set of circumstances. I understand all that. But there is still room for me to give thanks because overall, I belong to you. And I know I will stay that way, not because I hold you, but because you hold me. And you don't give up on your promise, the promise made here today. Every one of you should fall over and trip over a baptismal font as you come into church just to remind you that this is how it began in your life. He did it. You didn't. Keeley didn't say, oh God, here I am. Look, I haven't wet my nappy for half an hour. Look how good I am. Of course she did. Rubbish. But she's a real child. And this is a real salvation. And we have a real Savior, a real God. And what does he want to do? He wants to get you back. He will go and go and he won't give up until he gets you back. He wants you to inherit that life which he has prepared for you. We are signposts. The darkness that blinds us. Think of it this way. Yes, all around is dark. Yes, the things we see are dark. But we have enough light for the next step. Each step is enough light in your life, no matter how bad it is, no matter what's happened, no matter what tragedies, no matter what injustices, no matter what worries, no matter what anxieties, no matter what impurities, no matter how poor our worship life is, no matter, there is enough light for your next step. Even though all around may seem darkness and nothing is there. And when you find that light for next step, just say thank you, Lord. There's patience here. We are seeing the patience of God. And because we are his, we can also show that patience to each other. And not always be so critical, but be patient. Because we're all struggling, every one of us. The higher knowledge is not necessary. Because we're talking about understanding a relationship. An academic exam is not necessary. Because we're talking about where we belong in the scheme, God's scheme in his family. We are saints, as in the light we see that we are apart and set apart. That's what a saint is. Set apart by God in Christ to belong to him in a special way. It's all about getting us back. And what does God really want? What does he want from you? What's he want from me? Let me tell you, he wants to get us back. He wants to be our Savior. He wants to be our God. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.